Hello, this is Rob Jacobson with the Thursday, April 16, 2026 edition of the Danville Commercial News. We'll start with the headline article on the front page. The article is entitled, Catlin Woman Pleads Guilty in Monkey Torture Case. A Catlin woman pleaded guilty in federal court to distributing and conspiring to create and distribute animal crush videos showing violent torture of monkeys, according to a release from the Department of Justice, Western District of Pennsylvania, and U.S. Attorney Troy Rivetti. Amanda Lee Forez, 33, of Catlin, pleaded guilty to two counts before United States District Judge Christy Criswell Wiegand, according to court documents and statements during the change of plea hearing. Forez and others conspired to pool their money to commission the creation of animal crush videos, that is, videos that show actual obscene conduct in which living non-human mammals, in this case monkeys, were purposefully crushed, burned, drowned, suffocated, impaled, or otherwise subjected to serious bodily injury, and then distributed those videos to other group members and chat groups via an instant messaging application. Forez acknowledges sending at least 11 payments to others to commission Animal Crush videos, and then knowingly distributing Animal Crush videos on at least 10 occasions. Forez archived and controlled the distribution of Animal Crush videos. Another member of these groups, Joseph Garrett Buckland of Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania, pleaded guilty to one count of conspiracy to create and distribute Animal Crush videos earlier this month. Judge Wiegand scheduled Forez's sentencing for August 27. The law provides for a total sentence of up to 7 years in prison, a fine of up to $500,000, or both. Under the federal sentencing guidelines, the actual sentence imposed is based upon the seriousness of the offenses and the prior criminal history, if any, of the defendant. Assistant U.S. Attorney Kelly Locker for the Western District of Pennsylvania and trial attorney Emily Stone of the Department of Justice's Environment and Natural Resources Division are prosecuting this case on behalf of the government. Homeland Security Investigations, New Orleans Cyber and Human Exploitation Investigations, and the FBI conducted the investigation that led to the prosecution of Forez. Also on the front page and in local news, an article entitled, Attempted Murder, Hate Crime Charges for Paris Attackers. Paris police released an update following the court appearance of three men arrested in connection with an attack on Danville Alderman Jaleel Jones and his family while they were night fishing. According to a release from the Paris Police Department, two of three men remain in custody with attempted murder and hate crime charges. Jordan Coleman, 29, of Paris, was charged with attempted first-degree murder, aggravated discharge of a firearm, unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon, and hate crime involving mob action. Jesse Coleman, 25, of Paris, was charged with attempted first-degree murder and hate crime involving mob action. Both Colemans were denied pretrial release, and they are both due back in court at 10 o'clock a.m. on Friday, April 24, for their preliminary hearings. Jaden Reynolds was charged with mob action, according to the release. The attack on Jones occurred on Friday, April 3, at White Oaks Park. Jones reported the men yelled slurs at him and his family members while pointing guns at them. The men then began shooting, causing Jones and his family to flee. "I'm very much relieved that the three are booked now," Jones said. "Much relief off my back, and I feel a lot better going to Paris now, knowing that." The other article on the front page of today's paper. Article is entitled, Bailey Goes to Chicago. Governor candidate moves into apartment on city's south side. Darren Bailey isn't just trying to win over voters. He wants this year's campaign to be an impressive experience for Chicago residents. Speaking to Capital News Illinois on Wednesday before taking the stage at the annual Illinois Gun Owners Lobby Day in Springfield, the Republican nominee for governor said he's moved into an apartment on Chicago's near south side that will serve as a sort of headquarters for his Chicago area campaign. It's not an entirely unusual move for Bailey, a former state lawmaker and farmer from Clay County, about 4 hours south of the city. He lived in the building formerly known as the John Hancock Center on Michigan Avenue 4 years ago with a similar goal, though it didn't pay off as he lost the race by 12 percentage points to Governor J.B. Pritzker. He only received about 15% of the vote in the city. Bailey hasn't always been fond of Chicago. 4 years ago, he called the city a hellhole, a statement he said he no longer believes. This year's move is part of Bailey's promise to focus more on getting to know voters in the city and suburbs. Bailey said this doesn't mean he's forgotten about downstate voters who propelled him to the party's nomination for a second time last month. I feel like our base knows and understands because I communicated that continually as we were visiting within the last several months, telling them that, you know, you're not going to see a lot of us after the primary, Bailey said. Bailey said he hopes a donor will help cover the apartment's cost. State law generally prohibits using campaign funds for homes, but allows some gray area for candidates and public officials to defray costs. It's common for state legislators, for example, to use campaign funds to pay for a hotel or apartment in Springfield. Apartment rent in the South Loop neighborhood starts around $2,000 per month, according to real estate group Downtown Apartment Collective. Governor J.B. Pritzker's campaign said voters shouldn't believe that Bailey's changed his mind about the city. Darren Bailey has spent his entire career demonizing Chicago and the people who live here, Pritzker spokesman Alex Goff said in a statement. He can change his address, but that doesn't change the facts. Darren Bailey is the same extreme, unsuccessful, and totally unqualified candidate he's always been. When Illinois voters reject Donald Trump's lapdog for the third time this fall, hopefully he gets the message. Bailey's efforts to appeal to Chicago voters have included striking a softer tone. He's also insisted that his message will be reflective of his own thoughts and not those of other Republicans. That includes President Donald Trump, who endorsed Bailey in 2022 and voiced confidence in Bailey's candidacy again this year. On Monday, Bailey called out the president's social media message bashing Pope Leo XIV's condemnation of the war in Iran. Bailey wrote in his own post that Trump should apologize. Supporters of Bailey and the president lit up the comment section criticizing him for daring to say Trump was wrong. I've always said that when I see something wrong, I'll call it out, and I believe I always have, so I felt the necessity to say this is not right, what happened here, and I believe an apology would go a long way in rectifying this, Bailey said. Bailey said he's still open to receiving Trump's endorsement this year, but doesn't feel it would influence his race. He said calling out the president's comments on the Pope also give him an opportunity to say, I am my own individual. I'm here to represent you without any outside influence. I believe that my base of supporters will understand and respect that, Bailey said. Bailey is still quick to pull the trigger on blaming problems in Illinois on Pritzker. Asked about rising gas prices since Trump launched the war in Iran, Bailey argued high costs for gas, utilities, property taxes, and other areas were a problem before the recent spike in gas prices. I believe there is an awakening, and to pivot and throw all this stuff on President Trump, that's J.B. Pritzker's talking points, Bailey said. While he's been focusing on addressing suburban voters, Wednesday's focus, while speaking to fellow gun owners, was about shoring up support from his base. If you truly are concerned about your Second Amendment rights, get out and vote, because there's an apathy that exists here as well, Bailey said. Next in local news, an article entitled Schweitzer Police Host Prescription Drop-Offs. State Representative Brandon Schweitzer, Republican of Danville, announced two upcoming prescription drop-off events he is hosting with local police departments on Friday, April 24. According to Schweitzer's release, the first drop-off will be from 10 o'clock a.m. until noon at the Danville Police Department, located at 2 East South Street in Danville. The drop-off will be in the east parking lot of the Public Safety Building. The second drop-off will be from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. at the Rantoul Police Department, located at 109 East Grove Avenue in Rantoul. This drop-off will be in front of the police department along Grove Avenue. I am thrilled to be hosting this event again and happy for the opportunity to co-host alongside our local police departments, Representative Schweitzer said. This is a great way for constituents to dispose of unwanted, unused, and expired prescription drugs, and I am encouraging everyone to take advantage of this free opportunity. Schweitzer, along with the Danville and Rantoul Police Departments, will be collecting your unused, unwanted, and expired prescription drugs and safely disposing of them for free. The events are drive-up events, allowing constituents to remain in their cars. Please place medication in a sealed plastic bag. Brochures on state programs will also be available. Accepted medications include tablets, capsules, and other solid forms of prescription drugs, as well as patches and vaping devices and cartridges, provided the lithium batteries are removed. Restricted items include liquids, including intravenous solutions, syringes, and needles. For more information about the drop-off, contact Schweitzer at 217-477-0104 or visit his website at www.repschweitzer.com. Next in local news, property assessment equalization factor for Vermilion County finalized. This article is out of Springfield. Vermilion County has been issued a final property assessment equalization factor of 1.0, according to David Harris, director of the Illinois Department of Revenue. This property assessment equalization factor, often called the multiplier, is the method used to achieve uniform property assessments among counties as required by law. This equalization is particularly important because some of the state's 6,600 local taxing districts overlap into two or more counties, for example, school districts, junior college districts, and fire protection districts. If there was no equalization among counties, substantial inequities among taxpayers with comparable properties would result. Under a law passed in 1975, property in Illinois should be assessed at one-third of its market value. Farm property is assessed differently, with farm home sites and dwellings subject to regular assessing and equalization procedures. Farmland is assessed at one-third of its agriculture economic value and is not subject to the state equalization factor. Assessments in Vermilion County are at 33.36% of market value based on sales of property in 2022, 23, and 24. The equalization factor currently being assigned is for 2025 taxes payable in 2026. Last year's equalization factor for the county was also 1.0. The final assessment equalization factor was issued after a public hearing on the tentative factor. The tentative factor issued on January 1, 2026 was also 1.0. The equalization factor is determined annually for each county by comparing the price of individual properties sold over the past 3 years to the assessed value placed on those properties by the county supervisor of assessments and county assessor. If the three-year average level of assessment is one-third of the market value, the equalization factor will be 1. If the average level of assessment is greater than one-third of market value, the equalization factor will be less than 1. And if the average level of assessment is less than one-third of market value, the equalization factor will be greater than 1. A change in the equalization factor does not mean total property tax bills will increase or decrease. Tax bills are determined by local taxing bodies when they request money each year to provide services to local citizens. If the amount requested by local taxing districts is not greater than the amount received in the previous year, then total property taxes will not increase even if assessments increase. The assessed value of an individual property determines what portion of the tax burden a specific taxpayer will assume. That individual's portion of tax responsibility is not changed by the multiplier. Next, also in local news, an article entitled Seven Point Hosts Smoke and Jam Fest. The unofficial weed holiday is coming up, and our local dispensary and smoke shop, Seven Point, is hosting a four-day free festival to honor it called 4x20 Smoke and Jam Fest. This event is all about bringing people together through all-day live music and celebrating cannabis culture in an open, welcoming environment. 7 Point CEO Brad Zerman said, "We have scheduled 20 music sets on two stages over 4 days, starting at Friday at 11 o'clock a.m. with the weekend celebration leading up to the 4/20 holiday on Monday. The first band will begin playing in the smoke shop as customers purchase their cannabis products." Owner Brad Zerman said the day is also the dispensary's second anniversary. The music part goes until 9 p.m. every night, he says. So we have 10 hours worth of music for 4 days and a whole bunch of different acts. There will be a stage area in the back of the dispensary with two mics and a mixer where each act will perform their first hour in the store to encourage flow into the lounge. He says the musicians will have everything they need at both locations, and they will continue to play for 1 hour at a time each day. We want to use that space to celebrate the cannabis holiday, and we are all about music. We sell vinyl in the store. We have live music and music videos every night of the week, Zerman said. We just want to celebrate music and cannabis, let people relax in a safe space, and they don't have to worry about where they're smoking. And there is a whole bunch of food in the mix. Zerman said there are deals all weekend long to celebrate the stoner holiday. He said if customers purchase $25 worth of products, they get a free pre-roll. $50 gets customers chips and soda. And for $100, you get a sub sandwich as well as chips and soda. We're probably going to give away 800 or so meals over the weekend. And we bought our refrigerators to store them, Zerman said. And if you want to sit out there and eat it, you can, or just take it to go. The smoke lounge allows people to consume cannabis legally next to the 7 Point dispensary. It opened in January. It's been pretty good, he says, about the business since the opening of the smoke lounge earlier this year. We have found the people really like live music. Our Saturday nights have been pretty busy. Zerman says he wants to continue to be involved with the community and tailors activities to what people want. We have found a crowd that is usually in the bar scene for karaoke. They are now checking us out too because we have an amazing setup for that, he said. People like it. We're here for the community. We want to keep doing fun and interesting things. People can come smoke, enjoy the activities, and it's going to be great. The four-day event begins on Friday and runs until Monday from 11 o'clock a.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. each day. For information, go to their website at 7point.org, and if you are interested as a musician, email info@7point.org. Moving on to some local high school sports. Out of Danville, Paisley Bean had a walk-off single on Tuesday as the Danville softball team beat Oakwood Schlarman Academy 5-4 at Clyde Osborne Field. Peyton Beath had 3 hits and 2 RBIs for the Lady Vikings, while Ava Foster and Kaylee Aaliyah each had 2 hits and an RBI, and Dina Linares had 5 strikeouts on the mound for the win. Irene Rangel had 2 RBIs at the plate and had 6 strikeouts for the Comets, while Ashlyn Daly had 3 hits and an RBI. Lainey Smith had 1 RBI, and Avery Trimmel had 2 hits. The Lady Vikings then had their makeup game with Hoopston area on Wednesday and won 10-4. Bean had 5 hits and an RBI, while Aaliyah and Olivia Skaggs each had 2 RBIs. Foster had 2 hits and an RBI, Gabby Kreider had an RBI, and Linares had an RBI and 13 strikeouts on the mound. Adeline Rutledge had 2 hits and 2 RBIs for the Cornjerkers, while Kennedy Wallace and Rylan Weber each had two hits. Hoops Denaria was coming off its first win on Tuesday, a 22-0 win over Heritage. Chloe Miller had three hits and three RBIs for the Cornjerkers, while Addison Kienhofer had two hits and three RBIs. Weber had three RBIs. Rutledge had two RBIs. Camilla Linder had two hits and an RBI, and Liliana Pagan and Peyton Irons each had an RBI. The Cornjerkers are 1-10 and will play Iroquois West on Friday, while the Lady Vikings are 7-7 and will host Normal West today. And the Comets are 11-6 and will face Milford on Friday. Out of Catlin, the final score, Salt Fork 15, Blue Ridge nothing. The Storm had 14 hits as they beat Blue Ridge in four innings. Carly McGee had two doubles with three RBIs for Salt Fork, while Lainey Ehler had two hits and two RBIs. Bella Kurtenbach and Brylin Barnett each had two RBIs. Ava Ringstrom and Sailor Packett each had two hits and an RBI. Maddie Hukel and Annalise Chambliss each had one RBI, and Morgan Russell had two hits and seven strikeouts on the mound. The Storm hit the road against Fisher on Tuesday and won 7-1. Ehler had two hits and two RBIs, while Kate Wachner had two RBIs, Russell had one RBI, and McGee had six strikeouts to get the win. Salt Fork is 10-6 and will face Watseka on Friday. Out of Westville, the final score, Westville 12, PBL 1. Lily Keisel had three hits and five RBIs as the Tigers beat the Panthers in five innings. Danica Hanner had two hits and an RBI for Westville, while Jasmine Bennett had an RBI and Sophia Bays had two hits. The Tigers are 12-2 and will play Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin today. Out of Paris, Paris 22, Georgetown Ridge Farm 3. Aniston Tovey and Madison Nevels each had an RBI as the Buffaloes lost to the Tigers in four innings on Tuesday. The Buffaloes are 3-10 and will play Oakwood Schlarman on Friday. Out of West Lebanon, Indiana, Seeger 12, North Vermilion 1. The Patriots had 11 hits as they beat the Falcons in five innings for the second straight day. Vivian Middleton had two hits and three RBIs for Seeger, while Sydney Stephen had three hits and two RBIs. Zoe Thomas had two hits and two RBIs. Lila Badger had three hits and an RBI, and Lainey Seri and Autumn Plunkett each had an RBI. Willow Campbell had two hits for North Vermilion, who lost 20-3 to Seeger on Tuesday. Campbell also had two hits, while Ava Jumps had an RBI. Layla Cavanaugh had five hits with four RBIs for the Patriots on Tuesday, while Badger and Middleton each had two hits and four RBIs. Stephen had four hits and two RBIs. Emma Winder had one RBI, and Siri had two hits. Continuing in sports, moving on to Major League Baseball. An AP article, Walker Cards beat Guardians. Nathan Church had three hits, Alec Burleson had two RBIs, and Jordan Walker extended his hitting streak to 11 games as the St. Louis Cardinals beat the Cleveland Guardians 5-3 on Wednesday. Dustin May, now 2-2, allowed one run on six hits and a walk and had four strikeouts in six innings, and Riley O'Brien pitched a perfect ninth to earn his fifth save and help St. Louis win its second straight game. Slade Ciccone allowed one run on three hits but surrendered a career-high five walks and threw 87 pitches in four innings for Cleveland, which lost consecutive games for the first time this season. J.J. Weatherholt lined a sacrifice fly to center off Tim Herron after Connor Brogdon walked Victor Scott, the second, to load the bases in the sixth inning, and Burleson hit a two-run single up the middle to pull St. Louis ahead 4-1. Church pulled an RBI double down the right field line in the bottom of the seventh inning after Bo Naylor lined a two-run double off Justin Brule in the top of the seventh to cut Cleveland's deficit to 4-3. Guardians designated hitter Jose Ramirez fouled the first pitch he saw in the sixth inning off his right shin and was down for several minutes before finishing his at-bat and grounding into a double play. In the first inning, Ramirez grounded into a fielder's choice in his franchise record 6,040th career at bat to break up Napoleon LaJoie's 112-year-old record. Walker lined a double to left field in the eighth inning to extend his hitting streak. Up next for both teams, for the Cardinals, right-handed pitcher Kyle Leahy will start against the Astros, who have not named a starter yet, Friday night, and that will open up a six-game road trip, while the Guardians will face the Orioles to open a seven-game homestand Thursday night. The Guardians' pitcher will be left-handed pitcher Parker Messick, and for the Orioles, right-handed pitcher Shane Baz. Out of Chicago, the Chicago White Sox called up another top prospect on Wednesday when they selected Sam Antonacci's contract from AAA Charlotte. The 23-year-old Antonacci was set to start at second base and bat fifth against the Tampa Bay Rays in his major league debut. He was 15 for 48 with two homers and seven RBIs in 14 games with Charlotte. Antonacci helped Italy reach the semifinals of the World Baseball Classic, starting all six games and hitting a home run in a win over the United States. He is rated by Baseball America as the number 9 prospect in the organization and number 93 overall. His promotion comes a day after prized left-hander Noah Schultz debuted against Tampa Bay, going 4 1/3 innings and taking the loss as the Rays beat the White Sox 8-5. Schultz is rated as Chicago's number 1 prospect. The White Sox also recalled left-hander Tyler Gilbert from Charlotte and optioned lefty Brandon Eisert to the minor league club. They designated outfielder Dustin Harris for assignment. Next, a book review. The article is entitled Need a Reset. This book provides it. So what are you going to do next? You can't decide. There are so many choices, and you know you're going to pick the wrong one. That's the problem. You never do anything right, and you don't know what to do next. So here, take a deep breath. Take another. Read How to Be Okay When Nothing is Okay by Jenny Lawson, and hit reset. As someone who's always been open about her mental health issues, depression, ADHD, and anxiety, Jenny Lawson has purposefully collected bits of advice to help her keep her head and her heart on track throughout her adult life. That random guidance has gotten her through a lot of days, and she shares it in this book. First of all, remember that we're all weird in one way or another. You're not alone. Forget people who rain on your parade. If there's something you enjoy doing, and it's not hurting anyone, just do it, even if it's childish. Know that learning to love your flaws is something magical, and humorously admitting them can be truly priceless. Keep a list of things that make you happy. Add to it, revise it, but keep it close. If you don't know where to start, look at Lawson's list for ideas. Remember that everybody deserves applause, and that includes you. Make a playlist of the music that makes you want to dance, and then dance. Keep in mind that depression lies, and that you are always and forever worthwhile. Give yourself permission to take solitary breaks now and then. If you're feeling overwhelmed, do something that's easy to accomplish. Teach others to help you by helping yourself. Revive your creativity by trying something new. Never be afraid to ask for help, even if it's just having someone listen a while. Prioritize sleep. Explore using color noises to help you focus or chill. And know that rules are often optional, so just be you. We've all had them, a whole week's worth of one of those days where everything turns south and you just want to go to bed for life. You need a reset. That's when you need this book. From comfort and self-care to mood boosts to confidence generators, author Jenny Lawson offers advice for anyone with any doubts and need to change their mindset. Self-flagellation can turn into a pat on the back here, and the theme over and over is that you're not alone and that you can find help, which is underscored, even if you already know it to your core. Lawson hammers it home along with all the right things to say, plus well-faced profanity, camaraderie, and plenty of her signature humor. This has been Rob Jacobson with the April 16, 2026 edition of the Danville Commercial News. I look forward to reading with you again soon.